So it's a part two, Ilhan Omar against Don Samuels, right? I feel like that 2 years ago, we spent way more time talking about this race. Now, just because we in the media locally are not talking about it as much doesn't mean the voters aren't fired up about the race, that Omar supporters aren't fired up or the Samuels supporters aren't fired up. You're still seeing some national interest in it. Like today, Ilhan Omar has been trending. I don't think that's probably from a lot of supporters. That's my guess. She has so much more money than Samuels. If you have local TV and you've turned it on the last few weeks, you've been seeing ads for Omar quite a bit. It was a very competitive race last time. You saw a fellow squad member and Cori Bush lose. Was it last week or was it the week before?
Last week.
Where a powerful Jewish group went at her and spent like $9, $10 million in a primary. She handled it well. She said something about, I'm not going to finish until I tear your kingdom down. I wouldn't be thrilled if I had a group going at me. Now, I don't agree with almost everything Cori Bush says. My gut tells me that Omar has enough passionate loyalty from her core voters that even though a lot more moderates are inclined for Don, that Ilhan is going to win, and then it's over in that race. I don't even personally know the name of the Republican who's running, but it's no different than some of the other districts where whomever wins the Republican primary is going to win. What is your sense here?
Are you buying that the righties are going to show up and vote for Don Samuels tonight?
So I'm sure some did, because you're allowed to do that in our state. I'm sure some did in 22, and I'm sure some will in 24. And maybe I'm misreading it, but I talked to a number of my political friends who followed even closer to me, and they had the same feeling that it's not going to be a blowout. It'll be close, but their sense is it might not be quite as close as it was the last time. And I just get the impression because, and you don't have to agree with Ilhan Omar, but she's very popular with her core voters in that district. And that if you're telling me that her core, which isn't a small group in her district, is going to lose to more the moderates, and God knows I've said hundreds of times on this show, I'm a moderate, I'm a centrist, that you're going to get more moderates and you're going to get more righties are going to vote? I don't think so. I just had the feeling that Samuels had more momentum the last time. And listen, we had a very spirited dialogue with Ilhan Omar months and months and months ago about Gaza, the Palestinians, and what was going on. We know where the far left is at. There's a lot of finger pointing at Netanyahu, you know, with Biden, Genocide Joe. And I think that group is very inclined to vote because they agree with Ilhan Omar. I will differ in this way. Good story in the New York Times today about how Netanyahu is altering the ceasefire agreement because he knows whenever this war ends, this grotesque war ends, that guess what? They're going to ask a couple questions, including how the hell did this happen on your watch? And oh, by the way, should you be there? And by the way, if he's not in office, he's facing criminal trial. So I do think Bibi Netanyahu hasn't been precise and selective enough, and too many innocent civilian Palestinians have died. But I think some people on the left who say, ceasefire, 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 don't ever bring up, hey, Hamas started this bleeping thing. They were decapitating innocents, and they still have hostages all over the place. But there's, as you know, because we've talked about a lot, and we've listened to others, and read others, there is still a lot of momentum on the further left for pushing back on the Biden administration and other administrations in their support of Israel.
Yeah, and as for the primary tonight, let me do something that's never been done before. Make an apt comparison between Ilhan Omar and Donald Trump.
Okay.
When it was still Trump versus Biden, I think it's a lot similar, very similar to what we're seeing tonight with the primary. You've got Omar supporters that, as you pointed out, are very fervent Ilhan Omar supporters. Much like the MAGA wing of the Republican Party,
yep,
are very fervent Donald Trump supporters. And those that were going to vote for Joe Biden, probably, it feels like, at least, those that are going to vote for Don Samuels, there's just not the same level of passion.
Yeah.
Of pro-candidate versus, I don't like the other person. And that's, you know, especially in a campaign, which is going to, or in a primary, I should say, which is going to have a very small turnout.
Yep.
I don't think that wins the day.
Yeah, and again, Don just he's been in the mix of politics for a long time. He's been a center left guy for a long time. He's had praise. He's had some controversial issues too. I do think it's possible that others who were more represented at center left wing might have drew more interest this time. A lot of people believe his wife Sandra. What if we've interviewed Sandra on this show many times? She is a dynamic individual. Now, Don is more recognizable, but that's just my gut today. I mean, 10:30 tonight, they might announce Don Samuels won by 5%. We'll be going, I guess we read that wrong.
Told you so. That's
yeah.
what I'll be saying.
That's what we
called
should,
it.
That's what we should say. I don't know what you're talking about. So I saw this on Twitter. I follow WCCO-TV, and we'll say again, WCCO-TV, well-established TV station in this town for a long time, and WCC Radio, we're owned by two different entities, right? You still hear CBS News here because we have an affiliation with CBS News, but we're not owned by CBS Corporation.
Haven't been for many years.
Many years. By the way, I've criticized things we've done here, so it's not necessarily automatic that if we offered up a tweet, I would have stayed silent. But I saw this, and again, I will emphasize, it's a headline. You can't offer 150 words in a headline on Twitter. So I get how it's not the easiest to do it. But when I saw this yesterday afternoon, Ryan Londergren, comma, trooper killed Ricky Cobb II, returns to work with Minnesota State Patrol, I was left right away saying, shouldn't it also say, comma, and charges were dropped? I mean, if you don't know this story, and you just see Ryan Londergren, trooper who killed Ricky Cobb II, returns to work with Minnesota State Patrol, and you don't see it, you're like, wait a second, what happened? Now, maybe you could say you can automatically leap to that. To me, and again, there's only a certain amount of space, like headlines in paper, headlines on Twitter, also. But to me, you need to phrase that and also include charges were dropped. Do you agree with me?
I saw the same headline. I guess I didn't even think about it because having followed the case very closely, obviously knew what happened, didn't have to think twice about it. Space considerations aside, I think there's probably a way to rewrite that.
Well,
to tighten it up and added that charges were dropped, to be fair to Londergren.
Okay, here's the first sentence. When you link that, when you click on the link to the story, here's the first sentence. A white state trooper who shot and killed a black man during a traffic stop in Minneapolis last summer is now back on the job. Once again, that's the first sentence. To me, the first sentence of this story should also include that charges were dropped. Now, here's,
if you're not putting it in the headline,
yeah,
absolutely should be in the first. I don't even think you need to start with a white trooper who killed a black man. It can be Ryan Londergren, who was charged at one point. Facing murder charges in the death of Ricky Cobb.
After charges were dropped, is now back on the job with the State Patrol. Okay. Here's the second graph, because the first graph is just a sentence. Ryan Londergren had been charged with second-degree unintentional murder, first-degree assault, and second-degree manslaughter for fatally shooting Ricky Cobb II on the morning of July 31st, 2023, during a traffic stop for inactive taillights. He pleaded not guilty to those charges in May, and they were dropped in June after the Hennepin County's office determined it could no longer meet its burden of proof. So that is comprehensive on that. And I guess I could see some people in the pure journalism business who would say, you're nitpicking here. But in the era we are in, where the media is drawing more scrutiny in cases like this, where race is involved, where this became an enormous story in the state about Mary Moriarty and what she was looking at, what she didn't look at, which consultants she listened to, which consultants she thanked and said, no, I'm still going to follow through, and how the charges were dropped, and Chris Maddow was so outspoken. Man, I just feel like in the headline, in the first sentence, you have to get to charges were dropped sooner than I believe they did.
It seems like it would be much more fair to Londergren, his family, the State Patrol.
If
you come into it without any knowledge, there's a lot of people that look bad after just reading that headline. And you're right. How many people now consume news via headlines and headlines only?
And there are many, many times where writers of stories will get mad at the headline writers.
Yes.
And say, did you read the story?
Never happened with your father, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't pleased a lot. But obviously, working with Dan forever, there were many times that he would write a column, and I'd read the column and look at the headline and be like, they didn't quite capture what Dan was offering up, or Patrick, or news columnists. And I'm not saying it's the easiest to do it in a space challenge.
Mm-hmm.
This should have been better. What do you think? What do you want to add? And I'm curious to see what Jason has to say, because he has commented a couple times on my tweet. Jason's going to take you home. He's going to lead you up to the Twins. What do you want to say about this headline? Do you think I'm nitpicking? Do you think I'm right on? You want to add something else? 651-461-9226. Yes or no, do you think Barack Obama is listening to the playlist, or he's just got somebody and Barack just says, hey, I want to be current. Just put out some tunes. Now, last 30 years that I'm listening.
This feels exactly like the sort of thing that someone who's a big shot would spend way too much of their own time on, doesn't it? Like, this is like the CEO whose obsession is like, I don't know, recycle bins or something, or like the, you know, light fixtures.
Yeah.
And this, I think he's into it.
Yeah. Well, he's also running the country, too. I keep hearing
Somebody must be.
Okay, so what do you want to say? You heard me talk about this.
Yeah.
You reacted to the tweet.
So you're right.
Should we stop there? I've heard
it. We could.
Yeah. Dave, have you heard enough?
That's good for me.
Yeah.
You're right that the way people have consumed information has changed. And so all I can say, I don't know what the structure is over there now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I worked there, there was intense editorial scrutiny over anything that I put in a story that went on TV.
Okay.
So my reported story would get approved by a producer, approved by an executive producer, and then I could go edit the story.
Yep.
The internet team, the digital team, is in the newsroom and yet in their own universe. And I think most newsrooms, when you hear like talk of we're reinventing, like at the Star Tribune, or we're going to be digital first, a lot of that is because there is next to no editorial scrutiny over what's happening on the digital side of local news operations. I doubt this is true nationally, but locally, often
this is foolish.
You'll have one person who is writing, you know, wire copy, or taking, you know, I had to write when I did Good Question, I had to write a digital version of that story.
Yeah.
But someone else writes a headline. I didn't get to see the headline before it went out. Mm-hmm. Someone writes a tweet. I didn't get to see that. Knowing how few people are actually involved at our local TV stations at their digital operation, from a logistical standpoint, I highly doubt there, in many cases, is even one person looking at the work.
Why wouldn't they, considering they want to be on the forefront of this, that love it or hate it, X is still influential.
Yeah.
You're on it. You must think there's a reason why. Why wouldn't they have somebody else just oversee?
Because there's no money there. There's no money in that operation. Now, I think stations are, and they used to, and I used to be a believer of this, where I would, to a certain extent, blame the consumer. You have, this is a click. It's a tease for a story. Read the story and then get back to me.
Well,
the truth is.
But in the case of this story, the first sentence is this, Jason. A white state trooper who shot and killed a black man during a traffic stop in Minneapolis last summer is now back on the job. You got to keep going. It seems like if you're not going to have the headline, then that's your first sentence.
I think many of us who never used to blame the police in any of these cases, when you hear officer killed a man, it sounds like blame is being cast.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would push back and say, do you apply that same concern when it's a random person who's accused of killing someone?
It's a fair question. I still think they missed out.
I agree with you. Yeah. It's poorly written.
Yeah. Jason's next.